Are you blessed tonight? I'm going to ask that again. Are you blessed tonight? Amen. The Bible says we are blessed, past tense. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, so we're always blessed. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege for us to be here today. I want to ask a question that Pastor asked one more time. How many of you had never heard me preach before today? You'd never heard me preach before today, okay? It's just about half of our audience, okay? I thought important to share a little personal story with you before I get into the Word of God tonight, if you'll allow me that. I experienced a tragedy in my life about 7 years ago. I was in London, England, and they awoke me in the middle of the night and told me that my late wife had been killed in a car accident in Tulsa. And I thought my ministry had come to an end. I went through a period of deep grief and anger and hurt, self-pity, and a whole lot of different kinds of emotions. But God brought me through the experience with a powerful, powerful revelation in the area of praise and worship. And a part of that revelation was the ministry I gave you this morning in the form of my message. When I came through it all, I told the Lord I would not consider remarriage or think anything about it for at least a couple of years. I just wanted to make sure that emotionally I was well established and was not doing anything on the rebound type thing. And so I said, Lord, I'll wait for 2 years. The 2 year time period was up in September of 1984. And I was ministering with my music director, Don Moen, in a crusade in Phoenix, Arizona. And we were on the airplane coming back home to Tulsa, where I live. And up about 35,000 feet on the plane, Don leaned across the aisle and he asked me a question. He said, Terry, you said you were going to wait for 2 years before you thought of remarriage. The 2 year time period is up this month. Are you ready to get married? Don is very subtle, never comes directly to the point about anything. And I thought about it for a moment. I said, yes, I believe I am. He said, do you know who you want to marry? I said, no, I have no idea. What kind of wife are you looking for? Very curious guy. And I said, well, a widow. I answered immediately. I said, someone who's gone through something similar to what I've experienced, I could minister to her and she could minister to me. He said, all right, let's pray. So he leaned across the aisle. He stands about 6'3", Don does. He had long arms. He reached across the aisle. And by the way, he's got a very loud voice. And for the benefit of anyone on the plane who didn't know what we were praying about, he began to pray out loud. And he said, Lord, Terry wants a wife. By this time, I was doing what Jesus said. I was watching and praying. You know what I mean? And he said, with his schedule, she's going to have to live in Tulsa. And Lord, make it a widow and make it soon. Then he opened his eyes and said, do you agree? With everyone on the plane looking at me, I didn't dare do anything else but agree. And I said, yes, I agree. Actually, I was in agreement. And this was on a Monday. And on Saturday that very same week, I took my children to McDonald's hamburger place in Tulsa for breakfast. We have breakfast there at McDonald's. They at least serve breakfast in America. And I sat down. I saw a beautiful lady sitting at the next table. In the course of the breakfast, she got up and walked over to our table and said, hello, is your name Terry Law? And I said, yes. She said, I grew up with some of the early members of Living Sound. We went to Sunday school together in First Assembly of God Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know where Bo and Paula are? And I said, yes, they're ministering in another assembly church up in Sitka, Alaska. So we began to talk about our mutual friends. And in the course of the conversation, I realized she was there by herself. So I blurted out a question. I said, where's your husband? And she said, he passed away some time ago. And I had two feelings at that point. The first was I felt the pain of what she'd said, because you only when you've lost a spouse and you've sensed the separation and the hurt that brings, you can appreciate what somebody else has gone through. And I sensed that instantly when she said and spoke about her husband. But the second feeling I had was very different than the first. I had a mouthful of coffee, and in America we call it a Mac attack. I had it all at the same time. And I remember the one thought burning in my brain was, Lord, we just agreed on Monday. Is it possible something could happen this fast? And really, it's an exciting story. We were married. Well, I'm not going to say that. How many of you would like to find out how Shirley got to McDonald's that Saturday morning? Would you like to find that out? Honey, I'm going to ask you to stand if you wouldn't come. And I'd like you to share your part of the story. It's really the most exciting part, believe me.
That Saturday morning, I was in my kitchen making breakfast. And I had already set the table. And I had made the eggs, and I was waiting for the porridge to thicken. And while I was standing there over the stove, I had a strong desire come over me to go to McDonald's. Now, I had never been to McDonald's for breakfast before. So I thought it was silly, and I went on and continued to stir this porridge. And again, the desire came to me, and I ignored it the second time. And then the third time it came back, and I knew then that God wanted me at McDonald's for a reason, but I didn't know why. So I went back to the bedroom where the children were, and I told them that we were going to McDonald's for breakfast that morning, and they were so thrilled. And also, I felt real impressed to dress up to go to McDonald's. Now, believe me, Terry didn't. He did not look at all like he does tonight. You see, that's why I had to ask him who he was. I'd never met him before. I had seen him from a distance, and my late husband and I had supported his ministry, but we'd never met. But anyway, my children and I were on our way to McDonald's, and about halfway there, my daughter began to cry in the back seat of the car. Now, she is not an emotional type child, and she was crying, and she said, "Mommy, I don't want to go to McDonald's. It reminds me of Daddy." And my heart was broken. And I had remembered that on Saturday mornings, my late husband, before he became ill, would take the children to McDonald's while I was at the church for a meeting. And that was their special time together. And my heart was broken, and I wanted to protect her. So I stopped the car, and I really intended to turn around to go back home to protect my children. And when I stopped my car, again, I had that desire. I had that urging on the inside of me. I needed to go to McDonald's. So I spoke this out to the children, and I said, "Now, Mommy's going to pray, and I believe at the end of this prayer that you will have a peace, and we'll be able to go to McDonald's and sit there at the table like we've sat at other tables, and we'll enjoy the breakfast together." And at the end of the prayer, she looked at me, and she said, "You know, Mom, I know that God is going to give me a new daddy." Now, I had no idea going to McDonald's that God was doing that. I had no idea at all, and I was sitting there. You see, I was even on God's time. I was sitting there, and Terry was late. We had finished eating, and the children were out praying and out playing. And during this time, I was sitting at the table, and I was asking the Lord why I was there. And all of a sudden, the door opened, and Terry walked in with his children. And I watched him get the order, and I saw him sat right in front of me. And I knew I had to talk to him, but I didn't know what about. And the Lord gave me that idea. You know, God knows everything about our lives, doesn't he? And he can give you exactly the right words to say. And I thought this man was hurting and he needed some help. I didn't know that going there, that anything like this would ever happen. But praise God. God knew, and he knew that our children needed to have a father and a mother again in both of our homes. And it has been really beautiful to see how God has put the two families together. We were sharing with the pastor and his wife this afternoon at lunch that the children are so well blended in our families. They never cross each other. And it is a beautiful thing to see. And there are people that don't even know us that will get the children confused, and they think that Terry's natural blood belongs to me and my natural blood belongs to him. Now, isn't that beautiful? That's a miracle. And we are so thankful and grateful to God and what he has done, not only for Terry and I, but for our children. But you know, I am more grateful to God that no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter what kind of difficulty that we face, if we only turn to him, he is all that we need in life. He's all that we need. If we turn to him and if we look full in his face, we can see that glory and we can see that grace that he gives to each one of us. He is full of life and truth and spirit. And all we have to do is submit our lives to him. And he takes care of every need, every desire that we could ever have in our lives. And so is he here tonight and tomorrow night as Terry is ministering to reach out and to touch every one of you, to reach and to touch your need. Just reach out in faith and believe that God is your healer, that God is the one to protect you, that He has all of your needs met according to His glory in grace. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. We have two preachers in our family now. Praise God, and we're blessed, and we're grateful to the Lord for what He's done. I mentioned, how many singles do we have here tonight who might be looking? Would you raise your hands, please? Come on, all the singles who happen to be looking, would you raise your hands, please? Why do they always look around to see who else has their hand up? I have a special word for you, okay? You deserve a break today at McDonald's. I just wanted to pass that along. That's a song they sing in America. I don't know if they have that on television here in South Africa or in Australia or not, but anyway, it's a song they sing back home. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn you in the Word of God now to the book of Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to speak on a very interesting subject. How to hear the voice of God. How to hear the voice of God. Does God talk to people today? If He does, how do we hear Him? How do we know it's God? How do we know it's not the devil? How can we learn to tune in to the voice of God in our lives and to walk in His ways and walk in His wisdom? Romans chapter 8, verse 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to read three verses. Then we're going to read another single verse from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 14 first. I might say just before I read the Word of God that we had a bit of a problem back at the tape and book table this morning, and the fact that we ran out of everything real quick, and I didn't realize that there'd be such a demand for the books and tapes. So if you want any of the tape series that were mentioned this morning, and let me just briefly say we have quite a few tape series with us. I brought one on my message this morning. Actually, it's a two-tape series on Triumph. There's another follow-up message to the one I delivered this morning that's in this. That message is in this series. And then I've done another on healing, two tapes on healing. And a lot of you wanted that, and we ran out at the table. If you want to order it, we're going to be sending some over immediately. In fact, I will call the office probably tomorrow or Tuesday and have them put on the ship to Australia, so you'll have them fairly quickly. But if you'd like to order them, please stop back at the table and give your order. Shirley has done a tape series on forgiveness. It's a very powerful series. And then I've done another one on how to hear God's voice, my message tonight. But this will be a largely amplified message. It's four tapes, one-hour tapes, where I talk on how to hear the voice of God. And then we've got some books here, our life story. Shirley and I have told our story in a book called Yet Will I Praise Him. And this has brought blessing to a whole lot of people. If you know people who've gone through hurt and tragedy in their lives, and a whole lot of people have, this takes you through tragedy. It looks at it very openly and bluntly, but yet it brings you to triumph on the other side. And we think it's an exciting story, and it's the McDonald story all over again. So if you want it there, it's in the book. And then I've written another one called The Power of Praise and Worship. We printed 150,000 of these. It's gone all over the world. And then the sequel to that is Praise Releases Faith. And my message to you last time I was here on thoughts and the power of thoughts to destroy people is in this book. I deal very thoroughly with it, and much more thoroughly than the message that I was able to bring to you last time. It's all here in these books, so if you want them, please see somebody at the table at the back and they'll help you. Let's read the Word of God now. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How do you know you're a son of God? You know you're a son of God when you are led by the Spirit of God. That's how you know. Not until you're led by the Spirit of God can you really know you're a son of God. You know you're a son of God because you're led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, if you're going to walk with God, it's absolutely necessary to be led by the Spirit of God. That's important to see. Notice those words again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption,
whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me stop for just a moment and make a comment on that verse. When Shirley and I were married, we made a decision, and the decision was that we would adopt each other's children. I would adopt her children, she would adopt my children. We would become the legal parents of each other's children. We went before a judge, and I didn't realize how final an adoption proceeding is. But my children were given birth certificates that have Shirley's name on the certificate as their mother. Her children were given birth certificates that had my name on the birth certificate as their father. And in the eyes of the law, they are, all of them, our blood children. But we've noticed something as we've grown together as a family. At first, of course, I would always tend to be sensitive to my children. She would tend to be sensitive to her children because we knew them well. But as we've grown together in the Lord, that spirit of adoption that Paul talks about here has become a part of our lives. And now I have no sense of, well, this is Shirley's child or this is my child. I love every one of those children as my own, equally to all children. It's a beautiful thing that happened inside of us from the Spirit of the Lord. And I say that to amplify with what I think Paul is saying to us here. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. How many of you know we are all children of the same Father? Do you believe that? Now, if you believe that, then you cannot be a racist. Did you hear what I said? You cannot be a racist in any way, shape, or form, because that spirit of adoption makes every child of God just as much your brother and sister as anybody else. We have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, let's look at verse 16. The spirit, I'm going to change that. I believe this is a poor translation. Not the spirit itself, but the spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. Now look at those words, folks, because that's my text tonight. The spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. In other words, God the Holy Spirit. Could I have a little more monitor sound on the platform, please? God the Holy Spirit bears witness with our human spirit. His spirit talks to our spirit and tells our spirit what? That we are who? The children of God. How many of you know you're a child of God? Do you know that for sure? You know that there's no question about it at all in your minds. All right, if you know that, then you have heard God speak. Every one of you who knows that you're saved have heard God speak. A lot of times when I look at an audience and preach to them and ask how many of you have heard the voice of God, many folk will never raise their hands. They think when they hear God's voice, it's some kind of stentorian voice that comes from the balustrades of glory and surrounds them in stereophonic sound and scares the willies out of them. And all of a sudden, hey, I've heard the voice of God. Oh, no. When God speaks, here's how he speaks. His spirit bears witness with our spirit, and we hear God say something. Now, when his spirit talks to your spirit, and you start to hear God, then things start to change in your life. In America, we've had a whole lot of talk on television in the last 2 years about some of the problems that have gone on amongst Christian leaders in the nation. And one thing that I've seen news commentators say time and time again in mock and ridicule of the church, they say, well, this man of God says that God talks to him. How in the world can that be possible? God does not talk to people. Well, I know that those men have never been or had a relationship with God, or they would know that God can talk to people and that God does talk to people today. How many of you people believe that God talks to people today? You believe that? All right. All right. So if you believe that, then it's important to learn. Hey, it's one of the most important things you can ever learn as a believer is how do you hear what God's saying? I mean, if God's talking to us, and I believe he is, then how do we know what he's saying? I will never forget, in 1979, I was standing on the platform in a meeting just south of London in England. In the middle of my message, the anointing of the Holy Ghost came on me, and I heard myself saying some strange things. I turned to our European director, who was sitting on the front row in the audience. I said, Michael, thus saith the Lord, here's what God is saying today. The Holy Spirit is telling us that we are to take our music group, Living Sound, into the Soviet Union. We are going to be there in 1 month. The Holy Ghost is telling us that we are to take in a recording studio and we are to deposit it with the underground church and prepare for the things that God is going to do in that land. I said, we will be in Russia in a month. And then I went right on with my message and kept on preaching. Michael sat there with his mouth wide open for the rest of the evening. He knew that I had said two impossible things. Number one, in 1979, you just didn't get visas from the Russian government that quickly. We had spent 5 years trying to get a visa to go in 1978. And here I was 1 year later saying, we will have visas to go into Russia in a month. Now, I had heard God say something. It happened so quickly that I surprised myself when I said it to the audience that night. I heard it coming out of my mouth. Well, the second miracle that God would have to perform was the fact that we had no money to buy a recording studio, and it would cost at least $50,000 American. That's probably about, what, $65,000 Australian to buy the recording studio, and we didn't have the money to purchase it. But I said what God told me to say, and I said it publicly from the platform. Well, 3 days later, a man that I had never met in my life walked into our European office and wrote out a check for $42,000. The British pop star Cliff Richard, who's a Christian, gave us £1,000. A whole lot of other people who knew about our ministry stood with us in the project. And within 1 week, we had the $50,000 necessary for the recording studio. How many of you know when God says something, then he's going to do it? He backs up what he says. Then, to make a long story short, within 2 weeks, we had our Soviet visas. And I remember flying out of America into West Berlin to join our team. And we traveled across Poland the next day. We hit the Soviet border about 10:30 at night. We had about a five-hour border crossing. They went through everything on our bus. We were carrying 3 tons of equipment that we were going to leave with the underground church, and it was really a hair-raising experience. If you wonder why I don't have much hair, it's because I'm engaged in this kind of ministry. If you want an adrenaline punch, you don't need to take drugs. Come with me for a while going into the Soviet Union. I'll give you all the adrenaline punch you can handle for the next 2 years. It's kind of exciting. But anyway, I remember our first service in the Soviet Union was in a little church. Not a little church, it seated maybe 700 people. It was a Baptist church on the outskirts of the city, and there was a forest immediately across from the road from the church. And when our bus pulled up, there were about 200 young people from the church who heard we were coming, and they came and gathered all around the bus. And they were so excited to see Americans or people from the West who were going to come and sing for them that night. And a young lady walked up behind me in the crowd, and she whispered in my ear. And she said, one of the leaders of the underground Pentecostal movement is driven over 1,000 kilometers. He's here to pick up the music equipment, and he's a half a mile out in the bush, and he wants to talk to you now. But she said, be careful. The Soviet secret police, the KGB, are not too far away. So I said, well, you lead, and I'll follow. So she kind of disappeared across the road into the bush, and I followed her through the bush. We walked about a mile and a half out, or half a mile, whatever it was, and I met the brother who had come. We embraced. I'd known him for years, and we talked about our tour and the schedule that they had put together for us for the underground church in Russia. We were there for 6 weeks on that tour. And then after about an hour, I heard the sound of the music back at the church, and I was aware of the fact that the group was ready to sing. So I said goodbye to him, and I rushed back through the forest. When I stepped out of the forest, I stopped dead because there was a huge a militia van, a police paddy wagon, if you will, sitting in front of our bus. And the first, there were eight soldiers or policemen in the front of the machine with AK-47 Kalashnikovs over their shoulders. And the first thought that entered my mind when I stepped out of the bush is they've taken Living Sound. They've got our group in the back of this van, and now they're waiting for me. And I didn't quite know what to do. My first impression was to turn around and run, but I realized it was a long way to run to America. So I thought, hey, what am I going to do? In my usual calm and collected way, with my knees having a fellowship meeting, I walked across the road, and actually I was praying for the rapture. I told Jesus it'd be wonderful if he came right then. That was the time to come. But anyway, I got on the bus, and the engine started on their machine. They drove up. I remember the driver staring at me for a full minute, and my heart was beating like a trip hammer. I said, this is it. I'm on my way to prison. And then after about a minute, they stepped on the gas on the machine, and the accelerator. Okay. He stepped on the accelerator, and I breathed a sigh of relief and climbed off the bus. I tried to get into the church. There were at least 100 people gathered around the back door. There were 700 jammed inside. I got in on the platform finally and sat down by our interpreter, a young man by the name of Victor who went to prison for 2 years. By the way, I was with Victor in Stockholm, Sweden 3 weeks ago tonight. And what a thrill it was to see him in the West after having suffered for 2 years in a Soviet prison for standing beside me and preaching the gospel. But when I sat down beside him on the platform, he said, "They're here tonight." I said, "Who's here?" He said, "The Soviet KGB." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Just watch. When we pray, they're the guys that don't close their eyes." He had a real sense of humor, so I watched, and sure enough, they didn't close their eyes. And when the pastor invited me to bring greetings to the audience, they came out of the audience. They had sophisticated cameras and recording equipment. They stood right up in front of me. They tried to intimidate me. A man stood up looking in my face, shoved a microphone up to my mouth to guarantee that I would know that every word that I was saying would be repeated to the police the next day. They took a picture from both sides, a photographer. While I was talking to the audience, our drummer was out back. A man walked up to him speaking fluent American English. He said, "We know who you are. We know that you've been in the Soviet Union before. If you think you're going to do this time what you did last time, you can forget it, because we're going to stop you dead." When I went back to the hotel that night, I realized that I was in a serious situation. It's one thing to put your own life in danger. It's another thing when 14 young people in the music group are depending on your decisions, and they're all praying that they will not end up in prison. So when I went back to the hotel that night, and I'm trying to illustrate on how to hear the voice of God. When I went back to the hotel that night, I knelt down by my bed. It was about 10:30, and I said, "Lord, I suspect I'm going to have an interrogation with the KGB tomorrow. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." And I said, "Lord, I'm not getting up off my knees. I'm not leaving this hotel room till I hear a word from you. I need to hear your voice. Talk to me, please. Tell me, what do I do?" And I began to pray in the Spirit. I prayed for an hour. I received nothing. 2 hours, nothing. 3 hours, nothing. 4, 5, 6 hours later, 4:30 in the morning, something began to roll around inside of me. All I got from the Holy Spirit was Acts chapter 4. I grabbed the little New Testament that I brought in with me, and I started to read through the chapter. I read where Peter and John were commanded not to preach the gospel by the Sanhedrin council. And when I came down to verses 19 and 20, Peter's words kind of leapt off the page and they burned a hole in my heart. When Peter answered the Sanhedrin and said, "Whether it's right to listen unto God or men, you be the judge, for we cannot but preach the things that we've seen and we've heard." And the anointing of the Holy Ghost came on me when I read those words, and God said, "You be bold and you give my gospel and you leave the rest to me." Now that's not the word I was looking for, folks. I was trying to find where Elijah went to the backside of the desert for 40 days. I figured that's where I ought to be. And I remember I got up off my knees. I laid down for a short sleep, and then I had to go down for breakfast. When I walked up to the breakfast table, our guide stood up, and our Soviet guide turned out to be an informant for the KGB. Everything we did was reported daily to the police. He said, "I've got some men who want to talk to you." They led me off to a room. I walked in the outside room. There were several soldiers there with guns, and I knew I was in for trouble. I walked into the second room. When I walked in, there was a light blinding my eyes as I walked in. There was a spotlight in the corner shining on a chair. They asked me to sit on a chair. There was a military man with a chest full of medals sitting on a chair behind a desk in front of me. A lady interpreter spoke English sitting beside him, and a plainclothes KGB officer in the corner. And the interrogation began. And the man began to holler at me in his language. And the lady hollered the interpretation. I always thought it was strange. I wondered if they thought I was hard of hearing for some reason. But they were trying to intimidate, and the man said, "You've come to our country as our guest. You are here on an in-tourist visa. If you're here on an in-tourist visa, you will go where we say. You will only go where you are allowed. In the Soviet state, we make the plans, and you abide by them. You went to a church last night. You did not have permission to go to that church, and we are considering right now whether to put you in prison or not." And this kind of harangue went on for about 20 minutes. And I sat on the chair and I said, "Lord, is this the time you want me to be bold?" I didn't really feel very bold, if you know what I mean. But I sensed as the man was talking, something began to rise up in my spirit. I don't know what else to call it. I call it the anointing of the evangelist. God's made me an evangelist, not a pastor. See, pastors teach you to love, evangelists teach you to fight. I didn't get an amen on that, but that's good preaching anyhow. Praise the Lord. Now, when I sensed that anointing coming on me, I groaned because I knew what it was. And I knew I was going to start to preach. And I held my hand up, and the man said, "Have you got something to say?" And friends, to this day, I have never figured out where I learned what I said to that man. I must have read it somewhere. but I began to quote the Soviet Constitution under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I said, sir, the new Soviet Constitution ratified in 1977, Article 52 declares that you have freedom of religion in the USSR. Is that correct? He was shocked. It was like I'd slapped him across the face. He said, yes, that's correct. How did you know that? I said, I believe as a tourist in your country, I am protected by the laws of the Soviet state. Is that correct? He said, yes, that's correct. I said, all right. I am here then to exercise my religious freedom under your law. I am here to preach the gospel to every Soviet citizen that I can. I said, by the way, sir, have you ever heard of John 3:16? And I began to explain the gospel to him. The man on his chair in the corner leapt off the chair. He stood in front of me. He waved his fist under my nose. His face was red. He said, you do not dare interfere with domestic affairs. I said, sir, this is not domestic. It's religious. And I believe I know my rights under your constitution. Your law says it, and I'm going to do it. Now, I say, you can put me in prison or you can kick me out of your country, but you will do it contrary to your own law. I said, gentlemen, I've told you all I have to say. I got up off the chair and I walked out of the room. And just a minute, I died of a heart attack in the hall. You have to hear that part. I remember I leaned up against the wall and I said, Lord, where did that come from? I had never had anything like that happen in my life before. It was like I became another person. It was like the Holy Ghost came on me and gave me something directly from heaven. And in fact, they were so impressed by what I'd said, they called my interpreter, Victor, into the room after, and they said, who was that man? They said, if we've ever met anybody trained by the CIA, it's him. The only CIA I work for is an organization called Christians in Action. Glory to God. Do you belong to the same organization? I pray you do. Hallelujah. But I learned something about hearing the voice of God in that experience. I tell you, folks, the most important thing in my life, and Shirley will say the same thing for her life, the only reason that we met at McDonald's is because she heard the voice of God. She heard it standing at the kitchen stove, stirring some porridge with a spoon. God can speak to you in the most unusual ways. And how many of you know asking somebody to go to McDonald's is a fairly unusual order? Anybody, God ever spoke anybody here and said, go to McDonald's? Has it ever happened to anybody? He may after you heard the story tonight. I don't know. But but what Shirley was trying to say and what I'm going to try to say to you in this message is the fact that God talks to people. And there's got to be a way to hear what he's saying. If he's talking to us, how do we tune in? How do we pick up what the Holy Ghost is talking to us about? Because I'll guarantee there's a word from God coming to you right now. And if you learn how to hear him, your life will become 100 times more effective than it is right now. Because the only way to walk with God is to walk in the center of what his voice is saying. If you believe it, would you say amen? Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This verse is taken out of a story of Jesus meeting the devil in the wilderness. The Bible tells us earlier on in the chapter that the Spirit of God led Jesus, actually drove him, another portion says, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came to him when he was hungry. And he said, why don't you turn the stones into bread? And Jesus made this statement, if you'll notice now in Matthew 4:4, and Jesus answered and said to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at those words very carefully now, if you would. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, the word for word there in the Greek is very interesting. It is the word rhema. I would like every one of you to say rhema. Say it again, please. Rhema. Now, the two primary words in the Greek New Testament that are translated the Word of God are logos and rhema. Logos is used in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, or logos. The logos was with God. The logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, logos in Scripture means the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It is forever settled in heaven. Not one jot or tittle of that Word shall ever pass away. It is the eternal, everlasting Word of God. Rhema in Greek simply means a word that is spoken. Rhema is when God the Holy Spirit takes just one verse out of the entire Bible and speaks it and burns a hole in your heart with that word. How many of you have ever read a verse of Scripture 500 times, but one day when you picked up your Bible and you read that word, it burned a hole in your heart and the Holy Ghost said, "This is my word for you for today." How many of you have ever had that happen? That is what word is used here in this text. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema. Now, I want you to notice the next two words. But by every rhema that proceedeth. Now, that verb proceedeth in the Greek is in the ever-present tense. That means it is happening right now. That means it is going on all the time. It means it never stops. Are you there? Now, I want you to see something here. You are to live not by the bread on your table. You are to live on the eternal bread of God, the Word of God, the spoken Word of God that is coming to you constantly, continually, all the time. There is a Word from God coming to you right now. It's in the atmosphere around about you. And the only way to hear God's Word is to get your antennas up and to become sensitive to the Word that's there, because the Word is always coming. Oh, I want you to see that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that is now proceeding out of the mouth of God. There is a now word from God coming to you, and you can hear it if you want to hear it. Now, did you know that right now, while you're sitting listening to me preach in this room, there are pictures, there are television pictures all over this room. There are radio stations playing in this room right now. There is sound all through this atmosphere. It's there. If you don't believe me, then I suggest you bring in a television set, plug it in the wall, stick up the rabbit ears, and find out if I'm telling you the truth. I'll guarantee if you'll do that, that television will produce pictures. Where is it pulling those pictures out of? It's pulling the pictures out of the air, because the pictures are right here. They're going by the end of your nose right now. There's radio signals in this room going right by, right in one ear and out the other ear, if I can use that phrase. They are here. Why don't you see the pictures? Why don't you hear the radio signals? You know why? You don't have the receiver tuned in. Are you there? Why aren't you hearing the voice of God on a regular basis? The answer is the same. The word, the now rhema of God, is in the atmosphere. It's all around about you. It's always there. How do we hear? We simply hear by tuning in the television set. We fine-tune the radio till we make sure we are dead on the station. And when you're dead on the station, you start hearing His Spirit witness with your spirit. Come on, are you there? This is vital to understand. Now, you'll never expect God to speak until you see the picture of Matthew 4:4, until you realize that word is forever around you, and that if you become sensitive, you can pick up what that word from God is saying to you. That word is always there. It's always there. We need to tune in the set. Okay, so the question becomes now, how do I tune in the set? In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, Paul says, "I pray that God will sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body." When God made you and me, He made us as tripartite human beings. That means we have three aspects or three parts to who we are. First of all, we are body, or we live in a human body. Now, in your body you have five senses. You are experiencing this message as I preach to you tonight because the sound system is picking up my words, and your ears are hearing my words, your eyes are recording my movements and my gesticulations, and you are having input from Terry Law tonight because your five senses are tuned in to me standing on this platform. That's how you're hearing and learning what I'm talking about. With your body, you are conscious of the world around about us. Now, I'd like you to say that with me. With my body, I'm world conscious. Would you say that, everybody? That was fairly anemic. Let's try that again, please. Everybody? All right. Now, the second part of your being is your soul. Your soul is comprised of three parts, composed of intelligence, emotion, and willpower. Now, with your soul, you are conscious of you as a unique individual. You are self-conscious because of your soul. I'd like, and I could preach a message on each one of these points. I don't have the time, but I'm trying to make an illustration here on how to hear the voice of God. But I'd like you to repeat this with me now. With my soul, I am self-conscious. All right. Now, the third part of your being is your spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You will never figure out God with your mind. You may experience Him in your body, but the only way to know God, the only way to hear God, is when His Spirit talks to your spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. All right. So the Spirit, the third part of you, the inner man part of you, is God conscious. So I want you to say this, with my spirit, I am God conscious. All together now, with my body, I am world conscious. With my soul, I am self-conscious. With my spirit, I am God conscious. All right, now notice the text that I read. His spirit, Romans 8:16, His spirit bears witness with our spirit. How do you hear the voice of God? The only way you hear the voice of God is when you tune your spirit sensitively enough where you can hear what His spirit is saying to your spirit. His spirit speaks to you out of the word. His Spirit speaks to you with impressions that are coming to you from God all the time. We need to fine-tune that inner spirit, that inner man, so that we start to hear what God is saying. But we have two problems and two roadblocks that stop the inner man or the inner spirit from hearing the voice of God. And the first one is the body, and the second one is the soul. Those two things continually try to hinder us from hearing God's voice. How many of you know when you get down to pray, the telephone usually rings? How many of you know when, as soon as you're trying to get alone with the Lord, something will tell you that if you don't have a ham sandwich right now, you're never going to make it through the end of the prayer? How many of you know you start thinking thoughts of the refrigerator and all these pictures start running through your mind as soon as you get on your knees and you're trying to spend some time with the Lord? What is happening? Your body is interfering with your spirit's ability to hear the voice of God. And so the first two priorities we have in tuning in our spirit to hear the Holy Ghost is to get the body out of the way and get the soul out of the way so we've got a clean channel and we can start to hear. That's why fasting and prayer is such a vital experience for the believer. Fasting is one of the ways that the Bible teaches us to put our body under. Paul says, I'm not under my body, but he says, I put my body under. He says, I tell my body what to do. I do not take dictation from my body. If my body says I'm hungry, I say, shut up, body. I don't have time for hunger right now. So one of the ways to hear the voice of God is to learn how to walk with God and not to tune into your body. And I'm not saying that the only way to hear the voice of God is to fast and pray, but I will say that one of the ways to get sensitive to God is to spend some time in fasting. It will sensitize you because your body is not screaming for your attention all the time. You tell it to be quiet and sit down and do what it's supposed to do. So that's one of the steps to hearing the voice of God, is to quiet the body. The second step is to quiet your soul. Now, the biggest problem we have in the area of the soul is our minds. How many of you know when you come to the house of God, sometimes it takes a little while? You've been rushing getting the kids ready for church, and you come tearing into the parking lot, you jump out of the car, you run into here to paradise, and you sit down, and all of a sudden the congregation is flowing in praise and worship, and it takes you about 10 minutes to get out of one area and into the other. See, our minds, the Bible says, Paul says in Romans 8:7, the mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, the carnal mind. The carnal mind of mankind hates to submit itself to the Spirit of God. And your mind in the flesh is always going to argue with you when you determine to hear the voice of God. When you get hungry to hear God's voice, your mind is going to kick up such a fuss. Your mind's going to tell you you're hearing things, your fleshly mind. Because you see, right back at the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve took of the fruit, it was the fruit of what? The knowledge of good and evil. At that moment, man abdicated his spiritual relationship with God and put his mind on the throne, because the mind wanted to know the difference between good and evil. And there's been a clash between your soul and your spirit from that moment to this. And one of the only ways to hear the voice of God is to get your mind quiet. And that's why praying in the spirit most of the time will silence your mind. If you just tell your mind to shut up and be quiet when you start to pray in the Holy Ghost. That is a beautiful tool given to us by the Holy Spirit to become sensitive to the voice of God. Are you all with me so far? Am I making some sense to you tonight? All right. Now, there are four ways to silence your body and to silence your mind, and four principles that God has given me that have worked and have become very powerful experiences in my life to make you sensitive to hear the voice of God. And I will guarantee, as sure as I stand on this platform, if you will practice these four important rules, I will guarantee, again, as sure as I stand here, I will guarantee that you will hear the voice of God and it'll blow your mind. Actually, that's what it needs to do. It needs to blow your mind. How many of you know that? Amen. It'll blow your mind when God starts to talk. Four rules now, all right, that help you to tune in to hear the voice of God. Number one. The first principle is learn how to meditate in the Word of God. Learn how to meditate in the Word of God. Would everybody say that? Learn how to meditate in the Word of God. Let's say it again. Turn to somebody and say that. Now, what do you mean by meditate, preacher? Well, let me say this. A lot of people think because they went to Sunday school or went to church and heard the Word that they actually have learned how to meditate. Meditate is something much more powerful than that. Memorizing Scripture is not meditating in Scripture. I remember as a boy growing up on the farm in Canada, I had to milk cows all the time. How many here have ever milked a cow? Oh, good. I'm with friends here tonight. The rest of you city slickers ought to learn how sometime. I spent a lot of time milking cows when I was a boy. And one thing I could never figure out about a milk cow was how a milk cow could take a bite of grass, chew on it for a half an hour, and then stop chewing for an hour, and then after an hour start chewing again without taking another bite. How many of you have ever seen a cow do that? I would watch this and I would become intrigued. I wondered, what in the world did the cow do with that grass in its mouth for the hour? I wondered, maybe it kind of stuck it back in its cheek like a plug of tobacco or something. I didn't really know what was going on. And I remember I found out in a biology class in high school, the teacher explained to us what a cow does when it chews its cud. And I'm glad that nobody will be eating a meal after the service tonight, so this will not bother you. But I'm going to tell you what he told us. He said, a cow has the ability to chew a bite full of grass and to chew it and chew it and chew it. Then it has the ability to swallow it and bring it up again an hour later. That's why I said I knew none of you were going to have a meal after the service tonight. And start to chew on it again. That is called chewing the cud. And did you know the word for meditate in the Hebrew language? Did you hear me now? The word for meditate in the Hebrew language has the concept and the idea of a cow chewing its cud. You have not learned how to meditate in the Word of God till you take the words of God and learn how to chew on them. You chew on them and you chew on them and you chew on them and you get the value out and you may swallow it for a while and then you bring it up an hour later and you start to chew on it and chew on it and chew on it. You haven't got the full value out of that word until you've chewed it and chewed it and chewed it. I have learned that I can preach from certain scriptures from the Bible. I've been doing it for the last 7 years. And every time I chew on that word and minister that word to the people, something new comes out of that word every time I preach it. Something new from the Holy Ghost. That is what real meditation is. And the only way to start hearing the voice of God is to learn how to meditate in the Word of God. God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy what? What? Out of thy heart. Is that what it says? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy what? Mouth. Why mouth? Because thou shalt meditate therein. Now let me say something to you about meditation. Meditation is not just thinking thoughts over in your mind. Real powerful New Testament meditation is speaking things with your mouth and hearing yourself say them. When you hear with your own ears, you hear yourself saying things. There's something about that kind of meditation that has a whole lot more power to it. And that's why when we praise and worship God and sing the choruses of the Lord and sing to ourselves as we're going about our work and using praise and worship as a devotional tool to the Lord, something devotional is happening in your spirit. You are hearing yourself sing. You are hearing those lyrics and they're rolling around in your spirit and you're getting your spirit ready to hear the Holy Spirit of God. That's why it's so important to praise the Lord all the time. Amen. But the first principle of hearing the voice of God is to learn how to meditate. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do everything that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. How many of you want to prosper? How many of you want to have good success? The only way, friends, is to meditate in the Word of God. That means you chew on it, and you chew on it, and you chew on it, and you chew on it. Swallow it for a while, and then you chew on it, and you chew on it, and you chew on it. You want to get healed? I'll guarantee healing to every one of you in the room if you'll chew on the healing Word of God till the Word of God rises up inside of you and heals you. That's what happened to me in the City of Faith last year. I had to practice what I preach. I took the Word of God and I meditated on that Word and I chewed on that Word and I chewed on that Word, and I'll never forget the moment when that Word rose up inside of me and I sat up in bed and I said, sugar diabetes, get out of my body and get out now in Jesus' name. And it got. Why? Because the Word had risen up inside of me. I had learned the secret of meditation, chewing on that Word. Praise the Lord. Now, the second step of hearing the voice of God is when you chew on the Word of God, God's Word is going to start to talk to you. And when God's Word starts to talk to you, you better do what it says. Do exactly what the Word of God tells you to do. See, one of the problems we have in the Assemblies of God in America, and here in Australia, and Assemblies of God all over the world, in fact, every major denomination on the face of the earth has two kinds of people that come to church every Sunday morning. They got the hearers and they got the doers. We got hearers and we got doers here in Paradise Assembly today. I'll guarantee that. The hearers listen to the Word of God and they shake pastor's hand. How many of you ever remember the chorus? The wise man built his house upon the rock and the rains came tumbling down. You know that? You sing that chorus over here? The rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the... And the rains... Notice, the same thing happened to both guys. They both got rains. They both got winds. They both got flooded. One man's house stood, one man's house fell. What was the difference between the two guys? Why was one wise? Why was one foolish? You know, we never ever gave the answer in the Sunday school chorus, did we? We just sang a nice ditty, but the answer to the parable was not in the song. Why was one wise and why was one foolish? Jesus started the parable with these words. Whosoever of you heareth my words and doeth them, heareth my words and doeth them. Say it. Heareth my words and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. Later on in the parable he says, but whosoever heareth my words and doeth them not, I will liken him to a foolish man. I tell you, friends, the storms are going to come, the winds are going to blow, the floods are going to rise. I'll guarantee that. Life will guarantee that to every one of you. And the only reason your house is going to stand is because you're not just an attender at Paradise Assembly, but when you hear the Word of God in this place, you determine to walk out of here and practice it Monday through Saturday and not just Sunday go to meeting. It's in the warp and woof of life that you live out the Word of God. And when the Word says it's sin, then it's sin, and you better get it out of your life and quit playing Mickey Mouse Sunday school games. When God's Word says get it out of your life, then do it, and do it now. Why? Because until you become a doer of the Word, you're not going to have God talk to you. If you want to hear God's voice, then the second principle of hearing the voice of God is to become a doer. Every time God's Word speaks to you or convicts you inside, respond to it. Learn to respond to the lordship of the Word of God, and I'll guarantee you will hear God's voice. Thirdly, the third rule of hearing the voice of God is pray in the Spirit. I want to suggest to you the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for you to have an emotional experience of speaking in other tongues. If you have that, then wonderful. I do. I pray in the Spirit every day. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is much more than just emotional experience. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in your prayer language, is sensitizing your spirit to the Holy Ghost so you can start to hear. And I want to counsel you as Pentecostal believers. Most of you do not pray in tongues near as much as you should. You ought to be praying in tongues all the time. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I will find myself praying in tongues, even when I've been sleeping. I've had it happen many times. There's something about praying in the Spirit that's getting your spirit tuned in. You are sensitizing the dial. You are tuning in to the signal. You are getting ready to hear the voice of God. And the one thing that sensitizes your spirit. You see, the reason praying in the Spirit, and I explained this briefly a moment ago, the reason why praying in the Spirit is so important is because you are silencing your mind. Your carnal mind is being shoved out of the way, and you are opening the channel of your human spirit to the flow of the Holy Ghost. And when you do that, you can begin to sense the truths of God coming forth in your spirit, and you'll start to hear what God is saying. Now, fourthly and finally, the last principle and rule of hearing the voice of God is learn to obey the inner witness of the Holy Spirit as soon as it comes. Learn to obey the inner witness of the Holy Spirit as soon as it comes. Now, Shirley had a little bit of a difficulty with that in her story, if you remember what she said tonight. When she was standing at the kitchen stove and the Spirit of God said, go to McDonald's, she shrugged it off once. It came again and said it again. She shrugged it off twice. He came and said it the third time. And finally, on the third time, she said, all right, I will go. Many of us respond in exactly the same way. We're all learning how to hear God's voice. And sometimes when we pick up that inner urge or that inner sensitivity, most of you will think it's ridiculous. Why should I go and say this to that person? Or why should I go and do this? Or why should I go and witness to that person? Or why should I do what the Spirit of God is saying to do? But I'll tell you, when you get that urge and you get that sensitivity inside, if you'll learn how to become obedient in those moments, you will be amazed at how God begins to unfold himself to you and how you begin to be led by the Spirit and you learn how to become sensitive to the voice of God. But you see, where most of us have grieved the Holy Spirit is the fact that he's been talking to us and he's been giving us impressions and he's been pointing us and saying, go this way or go that way. But we've been so tied up in the mind and so tied up in our body and the desires of the flesh that we thought that those impressions we were receiving were just from ourselves. And so we shoved them out of the way. And really, God, the Holy Spirit, was trying to say something and he became grieved because we just didn't want to listen. So the fourth and final principle of hearing the voice of God is after you've been praying in the Holy Ghost, start to be sensitive and start to hear what he says. I remember in the early days of my ministry with Living Sound, I took the team to Africa in 1970. I had a powerful experience with the Lord Jesus. I was in a prayer room one night on my knees with a Bible in front of me, and Living Sound, my music group, was singing in the auditorium in the church. I was in a prayer room right behind the platform. I was kneeling on the floor, and as I knelt on the floor, the Lord Jesus walked through the room, walked through the wall, and stood beside me and started to talk to me. He said, I'm going to send you to preach the gospel behind the iron curtain. You're going to do things there that most men would believe impossible. If you'll trust me and be obedient, I'll protect you. That's all he said, and then he left the room. I was face down on the floor. I was trembling from head to toe. But I want to tell you what led up to that experience. The entire week before, we'd been traveling throughout Southern Africa in meetings. We had a van. And I had spent time, we had hours, sometimes we'd have 4 or 5 hours a day traveling on the road. And when this happened, I would take a word, I'd take one verse of scripture on the bus, and we had all 4 hours just to sit there and do nothing. And I'd take the word and I'd start to chew on it, I'd start to meditate, just one verse of scripture, I'd take it apart. I'd think about it, and the anointing would come on me so strong on that bus sometimes I'd begin to cry. Tears would roll down my cheeks. And I would notice that night when I stepped on the platform, God would start to talk to me about people in the audience. I remember one night in the same church where Jesus walked through the wall and talked to me. The same church, the same week. Jesus talked to me at the end of the week. It was at the beginning of the week. I stood up and I said, in the end of my message, I was giving an altar call. I said, there's a young man here tonight. You've taken your fist and you've hit somebody else in the face. And I said, you're under conviction, and God's telling you to go to that person and make it right. There was a gasp, went through a certain area of the crowd. I didn't know there was a Pentecostal Bible school class in my meeting that night. They'd come over from a Bible school about 50 miles away. They'd all come in. And I wasn't aware of the fact that there'd been a big argument in the class about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A big argument. And two of the young men were arguing. One of them said the word of knowledge is for today, and the other said the word of knowledge is not for today. And the young man who said the word of knowledge is not for today took his fist and hit the other guy in the face. He wanted to make sure that his point was the strongest. Well, that night they came to the meeting. I knew nothing about it. But how many of you know the Holy Ghost knew all about it? And when I started saying these things, there was a gasp went through a certain area of the crowd. I looked over, and the whole Bible school had their face down, and they were crying out to God. The principal of the school walked up to me and said, Terry, that's the most powerful spiritual illustration that I ever could have given that class to teach them how God talks to people today. They heard it with their own ears, and there's no doubt amongst any of them what the Holy Ghost said. Praise God. And it was that week that Jesus walked through the wall and started to talk to me. I tell you, friends, when you start chewing on the Word of God, when you spend time in God's Word, there are going to be things start to happen to you from God, and God, the Holy Spirit, is going to come on you. I remember time, I'm going to end with this. Every preacher says that and never means it, but I do mean it, I promise you. About 3 years ago, I may have told you this the last time I was here, I don't remember, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's so powerful. I was in an Assembly of God church for a three-day meeting in Hampton, Virginia. In the first meeting on a Sunday night, the anointing of the Holy Ghost came on me in my altar call, and it scared me because I heard myself saying things I had never said from a platform before. I looked at the audience, I pointed my finger, and I said, there's a man out there, you've purchased a gun and you're planning to kill your wife. And I said, the Holy Ghost is telling me all about you. There was a gasp went through the room. I said, God is putting you under conviction with my words now. He's telling you about your sin. You didn't think anybody knew about it, but God knows about it. He knows all about it. And he's calling you to repentance and calling you to get right now. I said, when this service is done, I'm going to walk down in here to the altar area, and I want to point you to Jesus. I tell you, there was a dead silence in that room. All the women were looking at their husbands. The gasp that I heard was distinctly female all the way. When the service was done, I walked down into the altar area. I waited for the man to come, but there wasn't a man in the church who would walk within 10 yards of where I was standing. They all waved at me, how are you, brother? But they all made sure they didn't get too close. Nobody came. When the meeting was done, I went back to my motel. I said, Lord, did I miss it? And the Spirit of God said, no, he heard, he was there. The next morning, the phone started ringing in the pastor's office. The ladies were calling. They said, Pastor, did that man get right with God last night? He said, no, he didn't. They said, you mean he's still on the loose? What should we do now, was the question. He said, well, why don't you come back tonight? Well, we had more people in church on Monday night than we had on Sunday night. The building was jammed, and I remember during the healing service, I saw a guy get out from his seat over on this side and literally run down the aisle and fall right out on the floor, right on his face on the floor. Church counselor went over and led him to Jesus. And then a few minutes later came over to me and said, the man planning to kill his wife has just given his heart to the Lord. I got so excited. I remember I went back to Tulsa and I told the story on my national radio broadcast in 17 major cities across the country. 3 weeks later, I received a letter from Phoenix, Arizona. A guy was driving down the freeway in Phoenix. He'd purchased a gun, was planning to kill his wife. Flipping through the dials on the radio came on the station as I began to tell the story. And in the letter, there were tears all over the letter as I opened it. Some of the writing was smeared. And he said, Terry, I was flipping through the dials on the radio. I came on the station precisely 11 o'clock in the morning when you began to tell the story. He said, it was like God started to talk to me out of the radio. He said, I slammed the brakes on my car. I pulled over to the edge of the freeway. I threw my hands up in the air. He said, the hot tears ran down my cheeks. I begged God to forgive me. He said, I went home, I confessed my sin to my wife. She forgave me. We got our marriage back together again. He said, my life has been transformed all by the power of one of God's thoughts. The question again, folks, does God speak to people? Yes, he does. Does God speak to you? Yes, he does. The question is then, what is he saying? What is he saying? Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. I want to ask one important question before I go on. Is there somebody here who does not know Jesus as your personal Savior? Someone who is separated from God by sin, you need to repent of sin and to respond to the Lord and to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior tonight. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to leave a church. I'm asking you to make a decision about a God who cares enough about you to talk to you. And just as I preached, as God talks to me and as talks to pastor and others on this platform in the congregation, he wants to talk to you, and he's talking to you now by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God inside of you is telling you there's sin inside of you that's separating you from Christ. And he's telling you to turn from that sin now and to come to Jesus. And I want to invite you to Christ now. If you're willing to repent of sin and confess it before Christ, and to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, if you're willing to take that step today, and you'd say, Terry Law, would you pray for me? I'd like to pray for you now. Before we go any further in this service, but I want to know who you are. I'm going to ask you quietly to raise a hand right now. Say, Preacher, there is sin in my life and I know it. I want to turn from the sin and I want to get right with God. Would you pray for me? Yes, we will. We'll pray now. But if you need that prayer, I want you to raise a hand quietly so I can see it anywhere in the service right now. Hold a hand up. Say, preacher, what you're saying when you lift the hand up is, preacher, I'm a sinner and I want to get right with Jesus. Is there anyone would raise a hand quietly in the audience right now? Hold it high where I can see it right now. Yes, I see it over here. God bless you. I see another hand on the aisle way back there. God bless you. Up on the balcony. God bless you. Someone else over on this side. Someone way at the back. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Down here in the middle. God bless you. You may take it down. How many others? Quietly. The Spirit of God is speaking here tonight. He loves you. He wants to talk to you. In fact, He's talking to you already. You're sensing His impressions inside. He's calling you to Christ. He's calling you to turn from sin. He's calling you to repent and get right with God now. Is there somebody else? You slip up a hand with the others who've raised your hand. Preacher, pray for me. Yes, I see another hand on the aisle back here. God bless you. You may take it down. How many others right now? God is talking to people in this room. He's talking to you. You're hearing His voice. It's that inner sense inside, that drawing of the Spirit way down in your heart, drawing you and bringing you to Jesus. Somebody else, slip up a hand. Preacher, pray for me. I'm a sinner and I want to get right with God. Yes, sir, I see that hand. You may take it down. Someone else, quickly. It's so important now to make this decision, to take this step toward Jesus while He's calling you. Anyone else in the building, hold your hand up. Let me see it now. This will be the last time I ask. Is there anyone else? Is there someone else in the room? Preacher, remember me in that prayer. Yes, sir, I see it down here. God bless you. Remember me in that prayer in the balcony. God bless you. Is there another? Quickly. Yes, sir, I see it on the aisle. God bless you. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking and calling people to Himself. Is there one more right now? Hold it high, anywhere in the room. Lift it up now. Lift it high right now. In the balcony again. All right, every one of you that raised your hand, I'd like you to look at me if you raised your hand. If you raised your hand, look at me now. I'm going to ask you to quietly stand to your feet, slip out to an aisle, and come and stand here. We're going to pray right now. Just stand to your feet wherever you are in the room. Each one of you that raised your hand, if you're up on the balcony, we'll wait for you to come. I'm going to ask you to slip out to an aisle and come and stand here. We're going to come, and you're going to come and meet Jesus. You're going to walk out of here with the life of Christ in your heart tonight before you go home. Just stand to your feet right now. Slip out and come. God bless you as you come. From wherever in this building, up on the balcony, we'll wait for you to come. God's speaking to you. He's calling you to Himself. Just get to your feet and slip out to the aisle and come and stand down here. Let's stand to our feet, everybody, to make it easy for those folk to slip out to the aisle. Just slip out to the aisle, whoever you are. Slip out and come. And join those who are walking forward to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Do it now. God bless you as you step forward to receive Him. Counselors, come with those who are walking forward, if you would, please. Bring your Bibles with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want all of us to pray a simple prayer, and especially those of you who walk forward. I don't want it just to be my prayer. I want you to make it the prayer of your heart. It'll be a prayer of repentance, a prayer of confession to Christ, but a prayer of inviting Him into our hearts to transform us and to save us. People are still coming forward to receive Jesus. I want to wait a moment because we're not done here. Keep coming. God bless you as you come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all of us bow our heads now. Close our eyes. I'm going to pray the prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me if you would, please. Let's pray it now together, everybody. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to You. I confess my sin, all of it. I hide nothing. I repent of the sin, and I turn from it now in Jesus' name. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me by Thy grace. Dear Lord Jesus, with my lips, I confess that You're my Lord and Savior. I give You my heart and life now. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe You hear my prayer. I believe the miracle is done. I believe You have accepted me. You have cleansed me with the blood of Jesus. I believe I'm now Your child, and I thank You for it, Lord. I receive this miracle with thanksgiving in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got counselors who walk forward who would like to pray with you for a moment before you go back to your seat.
I'm going to ask if you'd move with them to a place of prayer. We'd like to pray with you just for a moment. If you'd move this way to my right, to your left, please. We'd like to pray for you. If you'd just slip this way right now. God bless you as you go. Lord, we thank you for this. You know the chorus, I exalt thee? Three flats or E, I exalt thee, just on the chorus. We're going to come into the presence of the Lord for just a moment and see what he does here. Let's sing it together on the chorus, everybody together.
And I exalt thee.
Behind your ear, on the left side of your head, immediately behind your ear, there's a warmth coming from the Holy Ghost. There's a healing now. Right behind your ear, there's a warmth coming. If you've had a problem behind your left ear, there's a healing coming to you now. I want you to receive it in the name of the Lord. I declare that healing done now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's someone else who's had some pain. I sense it in the teeth, in the upper level of the teeth, right up going up into the jaw. And there's a warmth coming in your mouth, and you're being healed in Jesus' name. I want you to receive it now. You're being healed in the name of the Lord. Someone else, it's right in the hip on the right side. You've had a problem in your hip, and there's a warmth coming in your hip now. You're being healed in Jesus' name. I want you to receive it in the name of the Lord. Be healed in Jesus' name. I declare that healing done in that hip now. In Jesus' name, I declare the healing done in the name of the Lord. I want everybody to reach out and take somebody's hand right now, all through the room. Everybody take somebody's hand now. Go ahead.
This morning and again tonight, I sense that there was some people here that have had some problems in their stomach, like almost like an ulcer type symptom. And God is here to heal that. And then also this morning and again tonight, there's someone here that has had a problem in your brain. And it's almost like a blockage, or it's like a memory. You have a problem with remembering something. I don't understand it. That's all I know, that there's a problem there. And spurs in the bottom of the feet. And God is here to heal that. Amen.
We all got somebody's hand. I want you to start praying healing on the person on your right and on your left. And I want you to speak healing to them now. I want you to say, be healed in Jesus' name. Let's say it throughout the room. Be healed in Jesus' name. I want you to speak healing to the people that you're touching. Say it over and over again. Be healed in Jesus' name. I declare healing in this room now. I declare the anointing and the power of healing to come on this audience in Jesus' name. I rebuke sickness and disease. And I declare the healing virtue of Jesus to flow in human bodies in this room now. I declare it done in the name of the Lord. I declare it done in the name of the Lord. I command hearing in those ears, sight in those eyes now. I command that headache to go in Jesus' name. Migraine, disappear. Sinuses, clear up now in Jesus' name. Heart disease, be healed in the name of the Lord. Stomach disorder, I command healing to you in Jesus' name.
I speak healing in the joints of the body, arthritis, rheumatism. I command that pain to go now in Jesus' name. I command that pain to go in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I declare healing in every part of the body, from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. I speak healing to the body of God's children. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord. Everybody, just raise your hands and praise the Lord. Lift your voice and praise Him. Lift your voice and praise Him. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 All through the room, if you had a need in a certain area of your body, go to that area and try to do something you couldn't do now. Do it all through the room. Just go to that area and try to do something. If it was a bad back, bend it. If you had a headache, bang on your head. Take out a hearing aid, whatever. Just do it now in obedience to the Holy Spirit all through the room. Faith is moving in God and doing it now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of you are going to be surprised at what God's done in your bodies physically. Praise the Lord. Who was the person that had something happen behind their ear? Well, tell us quickly what happened. There was a what? A warmth behind your ear. Has something happened there? There's been a healing there, and you know it. You can hear better in your ears. Praise the Lord. Let's say praise the Lord for that. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who had the healing in the area of the hip? Somebody had a healing in the area of the hip. Who was that? Right down here? You had pain in the hips, and it's gone now. The pain is subsiding. Is that what you're telling me? Father, we thank you for that. I declare total healing in that body. I command the pain to go in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for what's happening there. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Someone else had something happen. I can't remember what it was now. What did I say? The mouth. The teeth. That's right. Who was that? Who had something happen in their teeth? There was a healing there. Anywhere in the room? Yes. This young man down here, did you have something happen to your teeth? God give you a healing in your teeth? Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And then Shirley, you had something on spurs on the feet. Somebody had a healing on their feet. The bottom of the feet with spurs. Anybody? Raise a hand quickly. Anywhere in the audience. Way up on the balcony, wherever. It's hard to see sometimes. Wave the hand so I can see it. Heard me? Oh, way back there. Sorry. You had a healing on the bottom of your feet? The spurs? I can't hear you, but we praise God for what's happened. Praise the Lord. We believe in that healing tonight in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Stomach, was it a stomach disorder that you had, huh? Somebody with a stomach disorder. Who was that? It's been a healing in the area of the stomach. Yes, over here. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Folks, this is just a taste of what the Lord wants to do in our lives all the time. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are there other folk you've experienced healing in other parts of your body? Slip up your hand. Anybody? You've sensed a healing. You've sensed something from the Lord. Just raise a hand anywhere. Yes, over here. Way at the back. I see various hands raised throughout the crowd. Yes, over here. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Listen, when we come back tomorrow night, we're going to have a full-fledged healing service, and it may take a little while, because when God starts to move and people start to get healed, some wonderful things have broken loose in the services. I've seen when blind eyes are open, people get kind of excited. And I don't know what the Lord will do, but how many of you know we serve a healing God, and we're going to expect Him to do things amongst us? If you know people that are sick, again, I encourage you now, get them here, bring them on wheelchairs, bring them on stretchers, however you got to bring them. And we'll be sensitive before the Lord, and tomorrow night as we gather together, we're going to expect to see the glory of God in this place. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now remember, if you want any of the books or tapes, you stop at the table on your way out, and somebody will be there to serve you and take care of you. And spend some time with the Lord tomorrow, and let's come back to the house of the Lord tomorrow night expecting good things from Him.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Amen. Well, what a great meeting. Tomorrow night, we're looking forward to it. Let's sing in closing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Shine!